Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin our Gemara, which is at the 13th line from the top, we have a topic heading on the side. You'll notice we've written the nosei and also indicating ad chof vav amud aleph. So for all practical purposes, today's shiur will focus on this topic. Haim sovrim sheyesh breira. Do we hold from the concept of breira, retroactive clarification? Our sincere hope, as usual, is that you have been listening to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Shiurim prior to today, and that you're not a first-time listener. If you are, in fact, a first-time listener, by all means, what we want to talk about today is a continuation of the topic we were discussing at the end of our previous year, the issue of Breira in the context of Gittin, and we touched upon Yerusha as far as Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. Structurally, you see in the Gemara markings itself, in the text itself, triangles that appear in alternating directions. So under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, the triangles are lehokel al hamakav, to make it easier to follow the give and take. The triangle with the point facing up, she'elos al reboshaya, they represent questions questions that is shel reboshaya, questions of Reboshaya, and the inverted triangle represents Tshuvos Rebbe Yehuda, the responses of Rebbe Yehuda. So now, the Gemara. Bomine Reboshaya me Rav Yehuda. Reboshaya asks, Omar Lelablor, one requests of a scribe, Ksoiv Le'eze Sheteitse Bapesach Tchila Mahu. Write a get for the wife, and we're dealing with a man that has two or more wives, and he says, write a get for the one that exits the house, that walks out the door first. Mahu, is that a legitimate divorce document? Hopefully this sounds a little familiar, but not shouldn't be exactly familiar. In our Mishnah, we had a man has two wives, and he says, "Ksov leizeh she'ertze." Write the get for the one that I will want to divorce. Do we say that when he decides which wife he wants to divorce, retroactively, that was the one for whom the get was written, which of course ties into the, or is a, it would be a fulfillment of the requirement of lishma that we spoke about in our previous shiur. Gittin have to be written with the specific parties in mind. Do we rely on breira for establishing the specific one for whom the get would have been written? The Mishnah said that that doesn't work. Ksov le'ezumem she'ertze, it's not a get. What about this case? And this case sounds so familiar. In fact, it is so similar that Rabbi Yehuda is going to answer the question with our Mishnah. In the meantime, Rav Hoshaya has asked, is it legitimate to request of a scribe write the get for the wife that comes through the door first? Now, at the time he's speaking, no wives have come through the door. That's something in the future. What we are asking, of course, is when that future event takes place, can we say retroactively that was the one for whom the get was written? In simple terms, using the Talmudic language, yesh breira or ein breira. Breira meaning retroactive clarification. Omar lay, so here you see the inverted triangle, Reb Yehuda responds, Tenisuha, the answer to your question can be determined from the Mishnah, at quote, Yeser mikain Omar lelablor. Even furthermore than the previous cases in the Mishnah, one who speaks to a scribe and he says, Ksoiv leitze sheertze agaresh, write the get for the one that I will decide to divorce. Pasul agaresh bo, a get like that is not acceptable. You cannot use that for divorcing. Alma, ein breira. So we see from here that there is no concept of breira. We don't accept breira to determine halacha. Eisvei, Reb Hoshaya challenges. What do you mean we don't use breira? Here we're going to give a, we're going to present a Tanaic source that seems to indicate we do hold from breira. This source deals with Korban Pesach. When one slaughters a Korban Pesach, he is expected to do so having different people in mind that will be part of the meal, the Pesach night meal, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where they would eat the Korban Pesach. It's called a Chabura, group of people, and appointing them, Minui is counting people or appointing people to join the group of Korban Pesach eaters. So the source says, "Ha'oimer lebonov, hareini shoychet es haPesach al mishe yale mikem rishon Yerushalayim. I am shechting the Korban Pesach, having in mind the first one of you." He's talking to his children. The first one of you to enter Yerushalayim will be part of my Korban Pesach. So when he's shechting the Korban Pesach, it's not clear for whom it is being shechted. The father is slaughtering it for whom? For the one who will enter Yerushalayim first. Kevon shenichnas rishon rosho v'rubo, first one of his children to enter Yerushalayim, head and majority of his body, zocha bechelko, he merits a portion in that Korban Pesach. And will also enable the other brothers to join with him. Well, what we see from here is that when the first one enters, so he then is the one, it's clear then, it becomes clear that it was for him that the Korban Pesach was shechted. In other words, retroactively we see for whom it was shechted, for whom it was slaughtered. Rashi says, Zocha Bechelkoi, across from here. Rashi says, the Amrinon Yesh Breira, we say there is Breira, the Mishas Shchita Hoyozet Ro'ui Lekach. From the time of slaughtering, which physically took place before he entered Jerusalem, this was the one for whom it was fit to have it slaughtered. V'nishchat Pesach Zeh Olof, and it was for him that the Korban Pesach was slaughtered beforehand. Umezak isechavimo limonois bechelko, and the others will then partake, will have a portion in his portion. Lukami mokulo shaper, later this will be explained much more clearly than we are doing right now. But the Gemara has an agenda, and the agenda is Reb Hoshaya's attempt to show yesh breira, that a later event will help clarify an earlier situation. Omar Leit. So Rav Yehuda responds. He rejects this as proof to Breira. Hoshaya Bri, my son Yehoshaya. An address of endearment. He says, Ma inyan psochem eitzel gittin. How can you relate one topic to the other? The topic of a Korban Pesach to the topic of get. Ha itmar Allah Omer Rabbi Yochanan. It was stated concerning the Korban Pesach by Rabbi Yochanan, kedei lazarzon b'mitzvahs. The whole case there with the father, and is the way he addressed his children, was only to increase their diligence in mitzvah performance. He was trying to arouse in the children a sense of diligence, that to, we'll say, hasten them in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Hence, he created a type of, say, relay race. But not that in halachic terms, one retroactively was the one for whom it was slaughtered, and the rest of the story. Not at all. Daikonami dekotoni. Daikonami means through careful reading of that source of the Korban Pesach, you can see that it wasn't really a function of halachic breira, but rather, as we'll see later in the Gemara, at the time that the father slaughtered the Korban, he already had in mind all of his children, and has nothing to do with something retroactively being clarified. And you can see this in the words dikotoni. It said, Kevon shenichnas rishon, rosh v'rubo zocha b'chelko mezake es echov imo. When the first one entered, so he gains his portion, and he enables the other brothers to join in with him. E amers bishlamo de'am ninu me'ikora shapir. If you say that the father initially appointed all of them to be part of the Korban Pesach, but even before he shechted it, then that's fine. That's how the halacha works. That's what is expected. If you're going to think for a second that the father did not appoint them initially, after a Korban Pesach is slaughtered, is it possible to then be appointed to it? The Hotanan, we have the following Tanaic source. It says, Nimnin u'moishchin yedeh mimenu ad she'ishochet. People can join, people can withdraw from the group up till the time of slaughtering. After slaughtering, there's no more joining up, there's no more withdrawing from the group, you're locked in. And that halacha Rashi points out is based on psukim, as is of course elaborated on in the Gemara in Psochim. What we see then from this halacha is that the father would have had to appoint them initially to be part of his Korban Pesach before he even slaughtered it, in order for them to be accounted for, and nothing to do with some kind of event that takes place after the actual shechita. What we just said is appropriate for the Korban Pesach, so that if Rabbi Shaya is going to try to prove that there is breira from the case of the Korban Pesach, well, he can forget about that. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a brisa that shows that the father's intent was only lezarzon the mitzvahs, to increase their diligence level and through hastening them in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But in reality, the father really appointed them all from the outset. Where do you see the support for this? It says in the Braisa, Maisa, once on one occasion, the kidmu bonos lebonim, the daughters outran the sons. They came in first. Venimsu bonos rizosu bonim shvelim. And the result was that the bonos, the daughters, were really the diligent ones, and the sons were not as diligent. And Rashi adds here, ubonim shvelim. Shvelim literally means lowly or laggard. Velo kotoni, it doesn't say, Rashi points out, v'nimsu bonos zoichais bepesach ubonim lo zochu. It doesn't say that the daughters got a portion and the sons didn't get a portion, because they all got a portion, and the whole effort on the part of their father was simply lezarzon b'mitzvahs. But we don't see any illustration of breira from the case of Korban Pesach. So if Rav Shaya is trying to show, he was trying to use the Korban Pesach story as an example of yesh breira, not so. The sukkah continues. We have a new marking, even though we're in the middle of a discussion. The note on the side of the Gemara, I have a top note, say a subtopic heading. Haim yesh lechalek bein teile bedas atzmo leteile bedas achirim. Is there room to make a distinction between, within the realm of Brera, of course, between an event in the future that we want to retroactively determine something in the past, an event that was teile bedas atzmo, an event that the person himself is in control of, versus a case of an event in the future that's teile bedas achirim, that the event, that particular future event, is dependent on outside forces. If you want a quick illustration of a teile bedas atzmo versus teile bedas achirim, we've already seen, we saw the Mishnah had a case of teile bedas atzmo. Ksoiv le'eze mehen she'erze. Man says, write a get for the woman that I will decide. Who's deciding? I am deciding. That's himself. The husband himself is deciding. That's teile bedas atzmo. What's the case of teile bedas achirim? We saw that too. We saw, man says to the scribe, write a get for the woman that comes through the door first, for the, namely the wife. The man had a couple wives. For the wife that goes through the door first. So now the future event is not dependent on the husband who's ordering the writing of the get. The future event is determined on which lady, that's achirim. She's an outsider. She's not the man himself who's ordering the get. This becomes the basis of our Gemara's discussion. Now, as far as these triangles are concerned, under the Mivneh heading, you can see we have triangles. Again, these triangles appear in two different alternating directions. With the point facing up, through the sugya, you will see names, Abaye, Rav Misharshia, and Ravina. The names we just mentioned are all associated with triangles whose point is are facing up. Ma'alim, they raise she'elos, v'kushos, questions and difficulties. The inverted triangle will be consistently accompanied by Rava, Chuvoisav Shel Rava. So Rava will be answering the, we'll say, volley of questions that this sugya presents, will be fended off by Rava. As is usual with our Gemara markings, we highly recommend taking a bird's eye view of this sugya. So first of all, let your eye skim ahead. You see the first triangle with the point facing up? That's Abaye raising a question. The next, the inverted triangle, who's answering it? Rava. The next triangle, who's raising a question? Rav Misharshia. He raises what will turn out to be a very long question. And who answers that? So you'll see on Omid Beis, there, I should say, in addition, you have Rav Misharshia is raising a question, and I made a mistake, but and I have to point out that Ravina continues with a question. All is marked as a very long question. And finally, on Chav Vav Amud Aleph, you see at the top line an inverted triangle. That's Omar Leh. Rava answers what they raise as questions. On the side, we continue with our introductory notes. We're going to see a bow tie marking. These are tanoim she'osim chiluk bein teile bedas atzmo leteile bedas achirim, that say that there is a basis for making a halachic distinction. And the diamond marking will be used, Havlotas Teilu Bedas Atzmo Bedas Achirim. When you see the diamond, you'll notice that we're highlighting these two concepts. In addition, we have what rarely present in our Gemara markings, Shiurim, but we've written on the side a Taktsir. Taktsir means a synopsis of what is going to happen in the Gemara. So let's take advantage of that. The Taktsir. Triangle, the movement of the Gemara, you'll see, is a question, and then the next triangle you see is inverted as Rava answers. then a triangle pointing up, Rav Mishash and Ravina raise a question, and again Rava answers. So what have we written on the side under the taksir? Abaye tamea al hadusiach li'el. Abaye is wondering, he's amazed at the previous discussion between Rav Yoshaya and Rav Yehuda. The tshuvos of Rav Yehuda lo matimos l'sheilos of Rav Yoshaya. Rav Yehuda's responses were, let's say, inappropriate. They didn't match the questions raised by Rav Yoshaya. Why? D'yesh l'chalek bein toile b'das atzmo l'toile b'das achirim. Rav Yoshaya raised a question concerning ksov le'ezes sh'teitzei b'pesach tchil. This question was, do we say breira when the future action is determined by an outside force other than the person himself? Rav Yehuda answered very quickly, no, we don't say breira. You saw in the Mishnah, we don't say breira. But one second, the Mishnah is talking about a case of Toile B'das Atzmo. It could very well be that in a case of Toile B'das Atzmo, when you're in control of the situation, you should be clear at the outset. Why don't you speak with clarity if you're the one who's making the decision? So say it right at the outset. There, it might very well be that if you don't do so, we will say Ein Breira. However, where you want to rely on a future event that's not determined by yourself, but by some outside force, maybe in such a case, we will accept Breira. After all, we couldn't, since the later event is not dependent on you, it's dependent on an outside force, we can't expect anything more of you and insist on your being clear at the outset. That's Abaye's, we'll say, his problem with the discussion between Rav Yoshaya and Rav Yehuda. Rava comes back and says, listen, there might sound like there's a distinction. And there are many times in halacha, many times when you're learning things, we can make distinctions, but it doesn't mean that the fact that there's a difference, that means that we should rule accordingly. You can have things that are different. Fine, there's a difference, but that doesn't mean that the halacha is going to acknowledge that difference. And therefore, according to Rava, once the Mishnah says, Ein Breira, it means under all circumstances, Ein Breira. Whether it's Toile B'das Atzmo or Toile B'das Achirim, that does not make a difference when it comes to a final ruling. Rav Mishashi and Ravina are going to try to show Marim. Rav Mishashi and Ravina Marim Shiesh L'chalik Ubozeh Mechaskim Tmias Abaye. They're going to try to show from applied halacha, from cases where there's applied halacha, that there's a difference between Toile B'das Atzmo versus Toile B'das Achirim. Rava will respond and say, Rava oina she'ein lohem hoichocha l'chalik. Rava will say, no, you don't have a basis for making that distinction. Okay, now that we've gone over the logical flow of the Gemara, let's go into the text and see the actual cases. Omar Abaye, I think that maybe we didn't emphasize enough, but the double underlining is to highlight the names of the participants in this discussion. Omar Abaye, Kaboy Mine, Rav Yoshaya raised a question that was Toile B'das Achirim. Write the get for the wife that will go through the door first. The man had a couple wives, so the wife that will go through the door first will be the one for whom the get is being written now. So the question of, do we say breira under circumstances that it's toile b'das achirim? V'kar poshit lei, and Rav Yehuda answered, he said ain't breira, but he answered him from a case of toile b'das Atzmo. And based on the case of Toile B'das Atzmo, Rav Yehuda ruled, no, Ein Breira. The Hodar Moisiv lay, and then Rav Yoshaya was relentless, and he asked again, from which case? From the case of the Pesach. What was the case of the Pesach? It was Toile B'das Achirim. In other words, the father there had said, the Pesach is being, I'm slaughtering the Pesach for the one of you, who enters Yerushalayim first. So that before we, it's true we already explained away the case of the Korban Pesach, it wasn't a real Breira story, but from Rav Ashaya's standpoint, when he was raising the issue, he was learning that the case of the Korban Pesach was a Breira case. However, it's kind of odd that he just heard a response from Rabbi Yehuda involving a case of what was in the Mishnah, Toile Bedas Asmo, and he went on to ask from a case of Toile Bedas Achirim, Omar Rava. Notice we have a long marking. My Kusha. He says to Abaye, what's your difficulty? Dilma, it could very well be. Demand isle Breira. He who accepts Breira as a means of settling matters, lo ishna toilu bedas atzmo, v'lo ishna toilu bedas achirim isle Breira. There is no distinction between the two kinds of future events, whether it's something you determine or something determined by an outside force. Umanda lesle Breira, and he who denies Breira, as would be the case with Rav Yehuda, lo shno toile bedas atzmo v'lo shno toile bedas achirim les le breira. Then we don't make a distinction, and therefore, if, even though you're asking me about a case of toile bedas achirim, I can answer you from the case of toile bedas atzmo, and from there we see what the ruling ought to be across the boards. Omar le Rav Mishar Shia Larova. Now, again, we said this before, but I will say it again. There's a question that starts here, and all of Amud Beis is included in the question, all the way till the top of Chof Vav Amud Aleph. So one has to sit back and relax, so to speak. Don't wait for any answers. A long question is going to be raised. Now, it's really in two parts, Rav Misharshia, and that's why there's a triangle with a one on it, and then number two, Ravina. And by the way, before we continue, let's remind you that if you need to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So in the Gemara, Amar Leh Rav Mishar Shia L'Rava, we pointed out before the bow ties highlight names of Tanoim that seem to make a distinction between these two types of future events, Toile Bedas Asmo versus Toile Bedas Achirim. So Rav Mishar Shia says, "V'ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the Toile Bedas Atzmo l'slei Breira, the Toile Bedas Achirim islei Breira." That when it comes to this, future events that are dependent on yourself, then no Breira. If it's future events that are dependent on outside forces, then there is Breira. Notice the diamonds. The diamonds used to introduce. Each one of these cases. The first diamond highlights Toile Bedas Atzmo, Lesle Breira, and on the second line from the top of Amud Beis, Toile Bedas Achirim Isle Breira. Here we'll illustrate, Rabbi Yehuda's illustrations that were illustrations of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda making a distinction. Toile Bedas Atzmo, Lesle Breira. Where do we see that? Desanya. In the following case involves laws of tithing. When one has wine, the source will deal with one purchased wine from the Kusim. The Kusim are a people that converted to Judaism many years before, but their conversion is highly suspicious. And this approach, in the Gemara here, we're assuming that they were, in fact, Jews in their conversion. They converted. They were called Geri Emes, but their level of mitzvah fulfillment leaves a great deal to be desired. As a result of their lack of diligence in mitzvah fulfillment, we cannot rely on them for having taken care of tithes. The Gemara will introduce a brisa that you find actually many times in the Shas, involving a person purchasing wine late Friday afternoon from the Kusi people, and he knows he has to tithe, and he doesn't have the required non-defiled vessels into which he can place the tithes. Truma, for example, the truma tithe that you give to the kohanim must be maintained in tahara. Do not allow it to become defiled. Maiser sheni also is something that must remain in a state of tahara. Even the maiser rishon, one should concern himself with the tahara because there's the trumas maiser that's removed from the maiser rishon that's given to a kohen that must be kept in tahara. So if a person, let us say, doesn't have any vessels other than the barrel or the jug in which he bought the wine, what is he to do? So in the source, we're going to see that before he starts drinking, he makes an oral declaration regarding the wine that he will leave over at the end, and declare the wine left over at the end as representing the different tithes. And he'll then start drinking. Does that method, does that type of tithing really work? This, of course, is not an example of something that's dependent on some outside forces. It's dependent on the person himself. It's his wine, it's his barrel, and it's his own drinking. Can he say that the wine that I'll leave over at the end retroactively was the tithed wine, was the tithes, and that which I was drinking from the outset was not part of that? This issue is addressed by a number of Tanoim, and we're going to see only Rebbe Meir says that such a procedure works. Rebbe Yehuda, amongst others, will say it doesn't work. You can't rely on retroactive clarification to say that the wine that you leave over at the end, well, that which you leave over, that was the tithe from the very outset, and that which I was drinking was the chulin, was the tithed wine. When you're relying on the wine that's left over at the end, so you can't say what we just said. That's Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. Rebbe Meir, though we'll see, disagrees. We're focusing right now on the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. So let's see. Rav Sharshit claims that according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, when you're dealing with Teilu B'das Atzmo, there is no Breira. Desanya, Halokeach Yain Mibena Kusim, one who buys wine from the Kusi people, and we gave all the background before. It was Erev Shabbos, he doesn't have any Tohar vessels into which to place the tithes. What do you do? Omer, so you announce. Shnei Lugin, Lug is a liquid measure, and here we're dealing with numbers, we'll call it numbers of convenience, assuming that he bought 100 lug of wine. What are the quantities of the various tithes? So, out of the 100 lug, we know that 2% is dedicated toward truma. So he says, Shnei lugin, shani osid lahafrish, 2 lug that I will eventually set aside, harehein truma. Asora, maiser rishon, 10 of the 100 lug are maiser rishon. Tisha, after you remove 10 from maiser rishon, so you're left with 90 lugim, forgetting about the truma, let's put that aside, it's such a small amount, but after you remove the 10% of the 100 from maiser rishon, you're left with 90 lug. Out of the 90 lug, 10% of that, Tisha maiser sheni. Now, Maiser Sheni is wine, in this case, it's wine that you would be expected to bring to Yerushalayim and drink it there. There's an alternative approach, and that is Pidyon. Pidyon is redeeming it. Another term for Pidyon is Chilul. Chilul means making it Chulin or Chol by transferring the sanctity that the item has onto money. And that's what we describe. Now, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Umechal. Mechal means he then redeems the Maiser Sheni. He'll take the money instead to Yerushalayim and buy food over there and eat it in Yerushalayim. Oh, v'shoyse miyad divrei Rebbe Meir. After he's made this declaration and the pidyon, the man can drink the wine. Now, Where are the tithes? Well, right now we don't know where the tithes are. It'll be left, that which is left over at the end, we can then say retroactively, is that which he was declaring right now at the outset as a tithe. Divrei Rebbe Meir, that's Rebbe Meir's approach. He says that this works. This is a case of Breira. Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon, Oisrim. You have three Tanoim that say, you can't do this. Now, the thinking right now why you can't do this is because there's no Breira. We don't rely on Breira in cases that are Toile B'das Atzmo. Here you have a guy. This case doesn't involve any outside forces. It's the man himself. He is making the declaration concerning his own wine. Forgetting about the technicality that he doesn't have Tohar vessels, but the tithing is something that he could have done at the outset. Since you could have done it at the outset, and you can't rely on Breira on something retroactive clarification. So what is Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, whose name we dashed on the line? Toile b'das atzmo ein Breira. Assuming that that's the explanation for right now. Toile b'das acherim isle Breira. In the case where the future event is dependent on an outside force, there Rebbe Yehuda says, we accept Breira. Now we're going to quote a Mishnah from later in the Masith. The quote is quite terse. By way of background, this source describes a person that gives a divorce document, a get, to his wife. And he says, this is, and the man is suffering from an ailment, and he says to his wife, this is your get from right now if I die from this ailment. Then he eventually dies from the ailment, doesn't get better. We say that the woman, that the get is a good get. So in other words, retroactively, the get that he gave her at the time, she was divorced. What is her status during the interim days? So that's what this Mishnah quote will tell us. Disnan. Mahi ba'oisen ayomim. Between the time that she physically received the get and the time that he dies, what is her status? Harehi ke'eshes ish l'chol devoreha. She's considered a fully married woman regarding all issues. And Rashi quotes the two major manifestations of this. If the husband happens to be a Kohen, this woman is entitled to eat truma by virtue of being married to a Kohen. And she's not from a Kohen family, but by the fact that she's married to a Kohen, that entitles her to eat truma. Now, retroactively, we're saying she's going to be considered divorced from the outset. And as such, a divorced woman who's not the daughter of a Kohen doesn't have a right to eat truma. But that doesn't matter to us right now. During the days that he's still alive and he's suffering from his ailment, she's entitled to eat truma. And if she happens to behave immorally, as a married woman has intimacy with some other man, she is liable to the death penalty, chenek, which is the punishment for an ashes isha zinsa. But now the main point. Ulechimayis have gita, and when he dies from that ailment, she is considered divorced. How is she considered divorced? Because we're saying that retroactively, when he presented the get to her with the stipulation that if he dies from this ailment, she should be divorced from right now. When he gives it to her, that's an effective divorce. If you do not accept Reira, then when would the divorce take place? After he dies? We have a rule, ain't get liachar misa. Get can't become effective after a person dies. The Rashi, ulechi mayis havegita, when he dies, so the get will be considered an effective get. The katoni reisha hare ze get. The reisha of that source, we alluded to it, is where the husband had said, this is your get. The airi Rabbi Yehuda, the mahi boisin ayomim. And Rabbi Yehuda spoke about what is her status during those interim days. Before he dies, after she received the get, Alma lo polid bereisha. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't take issue with the fact that the get is a good get. V'lo amrinon get lachar misahu. We don't say that it's a get that sets in, that takes effect after his death. Kevan de Omar may achshav. When he gave the get to the lady, to his wife, he said, Areze gitech may achshav. I want this to be your get from right now, if I die from this ailment. Even though when he gave her the divorce document, he was in doubt. Will he live? Will he die? And he made his condition based on the mind of God. In other words, on the mind of he who is in charge of life and death. So it was dependent on the Almighty. It wasn't dependent on himself. And when he dies, we say it becomes retroactively clear from the point that he gave the get, he was already expected or determined to die from this ailment. It's considered a binding document from the time he gave it to her, because it was with this condition in mind that he gave it to her. Rashi goes on with a very interesting discussion, pointing out that this is not a case of standard conditions of t'nai beget. But for our purposes, we're going to go back to the Gemara. Omar le Ravina le Rava. So in the meantime, up till now, what did we saw? What have we seen? We saw Rav Mesharshia making a point, attacking Rava. How can you, Rava, say that he who holds from Breira always holds from it, and he who doesn't hold from Breira never holds from it? Here you've got Rav Yehuda, that when it comes to Toilet B'das Atzmo, no Breira. When it comes to Toilet B'das Achirim, like the case of the Ged, then there is Breira. Omar le Ravina le Rava. And Ravina follows the same pattern of thinking. He says, Ha Rabbi Shimon, the Toilet B'das Atzmo less le Breira, Toilet B'das Achirim is le Breira. Toilet B'das Atzmo less le Breira, when it's a matter of some type of future event that is dependent on oneself, then we don't accept Breira. Ha Di Amoron, the case we said before, that was the Lokeach Yayin case. You'll of course notice that Rabbi Shimon's name we had dashed, underlined, of course, with this in mind. We also have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text, enabling you to see where we said that. So in Toile B'das Atzmo, Rabbi Shimon went along with Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't work that future residual wine serving as the initial tithe. Ah, but Toile B'das Achirim Isle Breira. When it comes to a future event that's dependent on others, so Rabbi Shimon says we accept Breira as a means of determining the matter. Desanya, Hareini Bo'aleich Almanas Sheyirtze Abba. I should point out ahead of time, this happens very often, you will read a source and there are a couple of opinions, and the opinion that you're looking for is not the first opinion that appears in the source. So here we have to just wait a little bit till we get to the opinion that we're looking for. So here we're dealing with a man. He's attempting to, let's say, marry a woman, and he says, I'm going to have intimacy with you. Intimacy is one of the means of acquisition of a wife. In addition to kesef and shtar, bi'ah is one of the methods of of acquiring a wife. So a man says, I'm going to have intimacy with you. This is my kiddushin is through bia, intimacy. But it's conditional. Amanashi yirtze abba. On condition that father approves. Afal pi shelo rotzoh av mikudesh. That's according to the first opinion. Even if the father doesn't approve, the marriage still goes through. It still becomes a marriage. And that's because of a concept that says, Ein odem oisa bilosa bilaznus. A person does not treat his intimacy lightly. He wouldn't, if you were to follow this the condition all the way through, in the case that the father would not approve, so then what was he doing? He would have an act of harlotry. A person would never lower himself to such behavior, and therefore even if the condition is not met, the intention for the bia to serve as a means of kiddushin, of marriage, is remains such anyway, a means of marriage. But this is not the opinion we really want to focus on. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda quoting Rabbi Shimon, says, Rotso ha'av mekudeshes. If the father approves, then she is married. That's Breira. That's Das Acherim. We continue at the top of Chavov Amid Aleph. Lo rotso ha'av eino mekudeshes. If the father doesn't approve, so she's not going to be married. Well, then you see that Rabbi Shimon takes the position that in the case of Teila B'das Acherim, Yesh Breira. This would appear to be a big difficulty for Rovup. And if we try to concentrate the difficulty from Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's standpoint, let's put them together for a moment. In the case of Teila B'das Atzma, the case of the case of the wine and the residue wine functioning retroactively as the tithe. By the way, we didn't mention this earlier, but if you're not going to rely on Breira, then as they said, you can't start drinking the wine. You're drinking untithed wine. If I can't rely on the future wine that's left over, so then you can't start drinking the wine. It's tevel, it's untithed. And that's what they said, Reb Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So what do we see from them? That when it comes to Teila B'das Atzma, the wine tithing was something that was totally dependent on yourself, not on outside forces, not on someone else's decisions. Teila B'das Atzma, no Breira. When it came to Teila B'das Acherim, so we saw Rabbi Yehuda had his case with the get. We had the case of Kiddushin with Rabbi Shimon. When it's Teila B'das Acherim, then Yesh Breira. Well, Rava has an answer. Omar Lay. Notice it's a long answer. Bain the Rebbe Yehuda, Bain the Rebbe Shimon. Lo ishno teila b'das atzma v'lo ishno teila b'das acherim. Islahu brei rav. Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon will always accept brei rav. Oh, well, if they always accept brei rav, then what needs explanation? You know what needs explanation? The case of the wine. Why were they so objecting to the fellow making his tithe declaration at the outset, and then the wine that's left over at the end retroactively was the wine that was set aside to serve as the tithe? The reason that they don't accept that has nothing to do with the laws of Breira. If you lived in a vacuum and the only consideration was Breira, that would have worked. However, there's a technical problem. When you're dealing with the drinking of the wine, in order for the wine that you're drinking to be considered kosher, i.e. non-tevel, which means tithed wine, there better be something left over at the end. Let's say you start drinking the wine, and you're, of course, hoping something is wine is left over at the end to serve as your tithe. But as you're nearing the end of the barrel, it smashes, and all the residual wine spills out, absorbed into the ground. So where's the tithe? the tithe never really comes to be because of what we just described. Ah, if there's no tithe, it comes to be. So what were you drinking all the time? What were you drinking from the beginning? Untithed wine. And it's because of the fear that the vessel, which the Gemara calls the node, might crack and the wine will spill out, that they don't want you to rely on Brera over there. In other words, Brera exists, but for technical reasons, we don't want you to rely on it over there because the future event might actually never come to be. The Hassam, the Gemara says, by the wine case, Kidakotoni Taima, the reason is actually taught in the Tanaic source. Omru lo the Rebbe Meir. The three Rabbonim there, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who disagreed with Rabbi Meir, they turned to Rabbi Meir and said, hey, you know, you're allowing him to start drinking the wine based on the future, residue wine, the future wine that's going to be left over. Do you not concede that there's a real concern that the node, the vessel containing the wine, might split? And then the result would be that retroactively, being that there's no wine left over at the end, what he was drinking was tevel, was untithed wine. Omar Lahem, and Rabbi Meir says, I'll worry about that when the barrel splits. Meaning, I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned, and therefore it's not common that barrels split, and therefore I am going to rely on that wine left over at the end. They, in turn, we would have loved to rely on that because we also hold from Brera, but we're afraid the barrel might break. So, even though there were quite a few questions raised against Rava's position, he successfully answered that when it comes to ruling whether or not you hold from Brera, it really doesn't matter whether it's Toile Bedas Atzmo or Toile Bedas Achirim. And with that approach, we were able to appreciate the discussion between Rav Hoshaya and Rabbi Yehuda that preceded this section. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.